All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we glorify your name, Lord. You're why we're here, to glorify you, Father. There ain't nothing that deserves it more than you, Father. Glory be to your name, Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for what you're doing in us. You're cleaning us up. You're making us ready. You're putting on that garment of praise on us. You're putting that white, bright garment on us as the bride. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for getting all that old junk out of us. And now that we're getting clean, Lord, let everything that comes out of our mouth glorify you, Father. And we praise you for it. Thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time because you're going to be leading us. Take us by the hand, lead us through the night. Tell us what you want us to talk about. And let your glory be abundant. And Father, we thank you for your anointing upon everybody here to walk this walk you've got us on. And Lord, place it in our hearts to put that armor of God on every day to maintain this life that you've got us on right now, to maintain this holiness and this sanctification. Because the more we're sanctified, the more you get the glory. And I thank you, Lord, for teaching us how to walk in your steps. And I'm looking forward to the time, Lord, when we can walk by your side, hand in hand with you, Lord, up in the streets of glory, and sing the songs that the heavenly angels sing about you, Lord. That'd be an awesome time. And I praise you, Father, that you're going to finish the work in all of us, because we know all we have to do is have the faith to believe, and you've given us that faith, and we know it's going to happen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for having a wonderful time tonight with you, with these wonderful people. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. All right, anybody got a prayer request? I'll tell you what, I want to pray for Sarah Sanders. Lord, I lift up Sarah Sanders to you. I know she's been brought up in that old Baptist tradition, but Father, you brought all of us out of something. And I know you can bring her out of it. I'm asking you, Lord, to bring her truth in her spiritual life. One that'll make her happy. One that'll deliver her from all that old negativity she had to go through up there in the swamp. I'm asking you, Lord, to make these next few years of her life one that would be to glorify you, Lord. I'm asking that in the name of Jesus. She's been done a great service to your Cyrus up there for this time. And Lord, I thank you for being with her, leading her, guiding her, keeping her straight. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to show her the real truth now, once she goes back to Arkansas. And I praise you, Father, for all you're going to do in her life, her dad's life, and her family's life, in Jesus' name, and the people around her, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, who else? I tell you what, let's do. I believe the Lord's leading me here. Why don't we, each one of us, pick somebody and pray for them tonight? Somebody on the outreach, possibly, that's not here. Or anywhere, as far as that goes. Maybe that's a bad idea. Oh, okay. Okay. Diane, I'm going to let the girls go first. I'll get you, Leah, next.
Okay. My sister was here visiting for 5 days. And we almost got into an argument because she just believes that we're sinners, you know, that we're sinners and we can't be any different and we just keep sinning and just confessing. I just want to pray that the stronghold there would be torn down. And her husband really reinforces it. He was a sort of in a pastor position. And after her leaving, I almost look back and I almost want to say, is it working? You know, is your belief working? Because you just don't see changes happening. You just keep seeing the same old repeating over and over and over again. But she's a little touchy about it. You know, when I try to tell her that we were sinners. We're not sinners anymore. We're a new creation in Christ. But her name is Debbie. And if we could just pray that somehow, some way, the Lord could tear down that stronghold. So, Father, I lift up my sister Debbie to you right now and her husband Eric, Lord. Lord, they do love you. They love you so much, and they really want to serve you with their whole hearts, Lord. But it just seems like they're stuck when it comes to this, Lord. It just seems like they keep going around the same mountain and that they're just not growing in certain areas. And Lord, it's only by your mercy that we have the veils removed from our eyes. So Father, I'm praying that you would intercede on their behalf. You would tear down the strongholds that are keeping them from being set free, Lord, from being set free from their flesh, from being set free from the old man. Lord, you died for this, Lord. It's such a shame that they're blinded in this area. But Lord, you can do it. You're the God of impossibility. You lifted the veils off of my eyes and so many others' eyes, and you continue to lift the veils, Lord. So I'm in agreement with you, Lord, that you would do a miracle in this situation and tear down this stronghold that is cheating them from the truth of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we believe with Diane that you're going to do that. In Jesus' name. Debbie's going to come back. She's going to say, my, 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 Diane, you were right. Here's what the Lord showed us. Lord, we just look for that day. Very soon, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right, Leon. Yeah, Leon. Leon. Yes. No, I can't hear you.
You just need to unmute yourself. Just unmute yourself.
You have to unmute yourself, Leon. Now, talk.
Okay. All right. Well, I would like to pray for Diane's sister as well. I'm praying, Lord God, that they would run across Romans chapter 7 and it would strike her that that's exactly what Diane is saying, that Paul struggled with that too, but he found out that it was by grace that he was able to trust in the Lord and separate the sinfulness of his physical self with the sinfulness of his spiritual self, or the non-sinfulness of his spiritual self, and make that a revelation to her, and just help her to realize that that's exactly what Diane was saying, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And then, Michael, I'd like you to pray for me that that I would hold on to this gift that God has given us and not be swayed by the devil to get back into older things, and just be
victorious. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Leon and everybody else. And I thank you, Lord, that you have put the armor of God out there for us. And we thank you, Lord, for giving each and every one of us bold faith to believe that we can maintain this integrity that you've given us, this holiness that you've given us. And Father, I thank you that every time that old devil shows up, we cast him down. And after a while, he'll get tired of coming back, and then you'll be able to walk without it. And Lord, we thank you that we do call the things that are not as though they were. We are holiness. We are sanctified by the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus covers each and every one of us. And the devil can't penetrate that blood. And Father, I thank you that everybody here will walk with that wall of holiness and that wall of Jesus' blood around each and every one of us, Lord. Because we want more than anything else in the world, Lord, to please you. And we can only do that by the faith that you've given us. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for each and every one of us. Let us get up in the morning praising you, Father. Let us go to bed at night praising and singing and telling you how holy you are, Lord, and thanking you, Father, for this glorious time that you've got us coming into. And Lord, I thank you for doing that for everybody that's on this fellowship and that's listening. I praise you, Father, that we all want to walk into this thing hand in hand with you, Father. That nothing else can glorify you but us. That's what you made us for. You made us to glorify you and to be your friend. And the only way we can be your friend is to get your hand in our hand and our eyes on you, Lord. And I thank you for that. Lord, I ask that you take the world out away from us. You take the old flesh and beat it out of us. However we have to do it, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing that. You've already done it. And we're going to stand in faith to believe that it's going to carry on through this till we come to see you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that each and every one of us are going to be listening for your voice to tell us what to do that day. When we wake up in the morning, we ask you, Lord, to fill us up with your Holy Spirit and then to take our hand and lead us through this day to do the things that you want us to do. And we thank you, Lord, for putting that sword in our hands, Lord, to whack the devil every chance we can. And we praise you, Father, that we are going to be a light to the world in the days ahead. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Anybody else want to pray? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
I'd like to pray.
Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
Father, I thank you for your promises. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the internet. I thank you for technology. I thank you for the multiplication of truth on the planet. And Father, I thank you that you are long-suffering, and I thank you for your wisdom. And Father, most of all, I thank you for every harvest that you're calling forth. And Father, I proclaim that now is a time for harvest, that you are not mocked, and everything that man sows, he will surely reap. And Father, you are calling forth the harvest for the seeds that have been sown, for all the good seeds and the truth that has been sown. Harvest is coming to your people. Harvest is coming to those who want to live closer to you, Father. You're giving them closeness. Everything that we desire that has come from above, every good and perfect gift that you sowed in our hearts and that we sow to our soul in agreement by saying amen to your promises, you are bringing forth a multiplied harvest beyond all that we could think or ask. And Father, we thank you for every good thing that we have not grown weary in well-doing, and we shall see the day of harvest in our time. Right now, we are seeing your glory. We are seeing your favor on your people. We are seeing your truth multiplied. We are seeing your fire of indignation and zeal in your people. We are seeing the head, Jesus Christ, come alive in the body of Christ on earth. And Father, we are seeing judgment and we are seeing deception go back to those who have sown deception. We are seeing every liar and every deceitful person in the news media and every person that has raised themselves up against you and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, their harvest is coming too, Lord, because you can only wait so long with your judgments. And Father, I thank you that you are displaying light and darkness, and you are showing the fruits of all of their labors, Father. And I thank you that in this time, all those who have stood beside your people and who have promoted truth and promoted justice in the world are being rewarded openly, and that the world is going to see favor from God to his people, and the world is going to see judgment for evil, and it's going to be out in the open, and everything in the darkness is coming to light in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for this harvest time. I thank you for the shocking joy and the shocking pleasure of being a child of God, and I thank you for the shocking separation that you're going to show, and the reward of wickedness, Father, that it is going to be shocking. And Father, I thank you for the dividing line that you are drawing, and that you are drawing your people screaming back to you, what must we do to be saved? That all of those that think they are saved and are not, Lord, that if there is a hint of truth in their life, they are going to grab that one hint of truth, and they are going to find their way back to you through your mercy. And I thank you that mercy triumphs over judgment. And everyone that denies you and rises up in pride, Lord, they're going to get what you have prepared for them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ditto what George said. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Barry, go ahead.
Yeah, I read something today in Revelation, and I thought it kind of worked in with what Leon was saying. If I understood Leon correctly, I think he's talking about hanging on, you know, holding on to the deliverance we've gotten and the progress that's been made. And I'll read this. This is Revelation 21, verse 6 and 7. It says, "And he said unto me, they are come to pass. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." There in verse 7, it says, "He that overcometh." Well, this deliverance that so many people have gotten, that's an overcoming. That if you hold on to that, you're an overcomer. And then you get the fountain of the water of life freely. Father, pray that each one of us can take this to heart and be overcomers, because that's what you want us to do. And Father, pray each one of us through this overcoming would bear forth good fruit and do the work that you have for us to do, not work of our flesh, but your good works that you're doing through us. And Father, thank you for everybody here. Thank you, Father, for the good work you're doing in everybody with the deliverances and cleaning people up at the right time. And Father, if there are any who have not gone through this and received their deliverance, Father, I pray you put it on their hearts to go ahead and do that. And Father, thank you for the love you show for us in this. We thank the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Ditto that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Matt, go ahead, brother.
Yes. Lord, I just pray that that we would be watchful and mindful of when the enemy is coming, Lord, and to have on the full armor of God, Lord, when they attack, Father, be mindful of the enemy's ways, Lord, to fight the good fight of the faith against them, Lord, and hold fast our confession of our deliverance. Lord, we thank you for doing that for each and one of our brothers and sisters out there, Lord, that they know that you love them, Lord, and you delivered them. You gave them awesome grace and deliverance, Lord, and that they know that they are delivered in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Ditto to that, too. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else want to pray? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Hi, y'all. We're really having a battle here in this house. I know I'm really being tried with Alex, with teaching him to drive and just everything. And I know it's spirits operating in him. The Lord gave me a warning dream to be careful that I don't get an unforgiveness. You know, the enemy, it's the spirits operating in him, rejection and everything. And it's like, you know, the enemy tries to put thoughts in my head, and it's like, you know, no, I don't want Alex to go. I want those spirits to go. And I just want to warfare against those spirits in him, and I want to command them to loose him. And if anybody else has anything that they want to add to it, go right ahead. I spoke to Merle about, you know, just talking to Alex, you know, getting together with him and letting him know, you know, just giving him some pointers on driving and everything, and, you know, just wanting to put it on a positive side. But anyway, so Father, I just ask you in the name of Jesus that remind me, don't let Merle and I talk to Alex about driving, Lord, without praying for him first, and praying that we do it, that we speak to him with grace. And I just command every spirit in Alex to be bound in the name of Jesus. And I command rejection of fear, rejection, anger, bitterness, contention, strife, all to leave him in the name of Jesus. You have no power. You have no authority over him. He is the Lord's, and you have no authority. You are bound. You are gone from him in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just ask you to pour out in him a spirit of meekness and humbleness, Lord. I command pride from him to go. Give him a spirit of humbleness, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. And I command every spirit that is rebellion, in every spirit that's causing him to be rebel, to be bound in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for granting him repentance unto salvation in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just ask you to fill my heart up with love for that boy like never before, Lord, and that I only see him the way that you see him, and I do not receive anything from the enemy against Alex in the name of Jesus or against Merle in the name of Jesus. I am keeping my deliverance. I am walking by the Spirit of God, and I am not walking after the flesh in Jesus' name, by your grace, Lord, only by your grace. I'm wholly dependent upon you, and I ask you to give me the strength, wisdom, discernment, everything that I need, Lord, to be not weary in well-doing. And I know that I would endure to the end, and that I would not faint. In Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Well, Lord, it says in your word that what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Has bound those demons in Alex. And as long as that boy's under her roof and Merle's roof, those demons are bound. They take authority over you. You don't have any room to talk in there in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that while he's there at the house, he'll see the love that pours out of Missy and Merle toward him. That all they're trying to do is help the boy. And Father, I thank you that he's going to see it and he's going to humble him. Lord, I'm asking you to place it in Missy, not to lose her cool, not to lose her anger, to just back off if something happens, and just pray for him. And Father, I thank you that when we pray for our loved ones, things happen. Lord, we thank you that Alex is going to come out of this a stronger Christian than he did when he walked in the door the other day, here a while back. And Father, I thank you that you're going to place it in Missy to hang on to what she's got from you, Lord, and to not allow the enemy to distract her from what you've got her to do, Lord. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you've got us on that holy road, and we're going to stay on that holy road. Amen. Nothing else is going to distract from that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Denny, go ahead, brother.
Lord, we pray you put a spirit of gratefulness in Alex, that he would be grateful for his parents and for his love. And we just thank you, God. Just do that work in him, God. Make him grateful and appreciative and thankful for his parents and all they do for him. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I pray, Lord, Lord, give him a spirit of maturity. Have him grow up, Lord. Have him become a man in more of the childish ways. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Lord, just remind him, Lord, what your word says, to honor your mother and father, Lord. And that, Lord, just convict him of biting the hands that are feeding him, Lord, the hands that are trying to help him, those who love him, Lord. Lord, it's not just Merle and I, Lord, that, and I just rebuke that spirit of rebellion against any kind of authority that doesn't want to be told what to do. Help him to know, Lord, that he does have a say, Lord, but he has to say it with respect. He has to be respectful, and I bind up those disrespectful, sarcastic, mean, hateful demons in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Diane.
And Father, we pray for Merle and for Missy, that the enemy would not come in here and drive a wedge between them, Lord. But we pray for oneness. We pray that Merle would take the lead and head up this family as he should, Lord. And Missy would not be the bad guy, Lord. We pray for oneness, Lord, that you have, this is your way. We know who the great divider is, and we come against him right now. And we thank you for the oneness and for Merle rising up to take the lead in this situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, I call for a Holy Ghost arrest in that house. And that boy is looking for freedom, and true freedom is found in you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And Father, he is going to find everything that he could ever think or ask about regarding liberty and freedom and a passion for life. And Father, I thank you. The word says, and a child shall lead them. If you have to arrest that young man and turn his life around today with a zeal and a love for you that goes beyond a parent's wildest dreams, Lord, I thank you that if I could ask for that kind of favor for anybody, I ask it for that young man right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for true joy, true love, true freedom, and honor. That is a young man of honor. That is the word of his life is honor. And I thank you for placing that on him, Lord. And that it is going to open up doors for him. It is going to open up favor in his life because of the honor that he gives those around him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I believe it.
Every word of yours, Lord, that has been spoken to him, Lord, that's been spoken to him in truth, Lord, I command every word that's been planted, the seeds that have been planted in his mind and in his heart that you've put there, Lord, that they would sprout and grow. You would cause them to sprout and grow. You said that in your word that Paul said, I planted, Apollos water, and you caused the growth, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I command those seeds to sprout and grow now, Lord. Give him a revelation of your love for him, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. I believe it. Anybody else believe that? Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord, for what you're doing in Alex's heart. I praise you, Lord, for everything that you've done in my heart and everything that you're doing in Merle's heart and everything that you're doing in Alex's heart. Thank you for giving us one heart and one spirit in you, Lord. You are that cord that binds us all together, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for your mighty move in our midst and for your restoration and for your revival in our little household, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I know that it's done, Lord. And I'm standing and I'm fighting and I'm not giving up until I see it with my eyes, Lord. but in your eyes it's already done. And you see the end from the beginning, and I see the end from the beginning, and I praise you. It is done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. And Lord, I just am in agreement that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to your purpose. And Lord, we believe, we thank you. I thank you for this trial for Missy and Merle and Alex, because it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning them. And Lord, that every lesson that can be learned will be learned, every revelation and repentance that can be granted would be granted through this. And Lord, I just am in agreement. As others were praying, I had been waiting my turn to pray, but the same thing was coming to me, Lord, that there's going to be unity in the battle there with Missy and Merle concerning Alex. And Lord, we bind up that, I know Missy prayed about this, but what's really coming to me is a spirit of bitterness defiles many. And we bind up that spirit of bitterness in him. And it's family members, resentment and unforgiveness, and Lord, not only the spirit of rejection and fear of rejection, but also the spirit of failure and fear of failure. And I bind up that spirit, those two spirits in Merle as well. Any feeling like he's failed as a father to Alex, we command those things to go in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that through all of this, you're drawing everybody to you, Missy and Merle and Alex, deep into the love of Jesus, drawing them to you by the Holy Spirit, enlightening the eyes of their understanding, pouring out a spirit of repentance, grace. Lord, your forgiveness to them for their shortcomings, but Lord, forgiveness in their hearts towards one another. That there can be true deliverance, true cleansing, true repentance, and true reconciliation. Father, with you through faith in the redeeming blood sacrifice of Christ Jesus, but also towards one another. And Lord, I pray that Corinthians chapter 13, the real love of Christ, would minister here in this family. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you that you got a great testimony here. And I thank you that you're working both to will and to do your good pleasure in all three of them. And especially for Alex, Lord, pour out that spirit of repentance and faith and a revelation of your grace and how much he needs your grace. I pray, Lord, that you would show Alex that he doesn't know what he doesn't know. I know that was a real revelation when you started showing that to me some time back. Lord, we just don't know what we don't know. And I just thank you, Lord, for the good work you're doing here and the great testimony to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it.
Amen. Father, I just ask you to bless all my brothers and sisters for being in agreement with me, Lord, for Alex, for my household, and praying also and agreeing with me, and I agree with them, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One sends 1,000, two sends 10,000, and we all send 1,000,000 at least in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're looking for the victory.
Amen. Thank you,
Father. All right. Go ahead, Anna.
Did you call on me, Michael?
Yeah, I thought you wanted to say something.
Well, I do, but I wasn't raising my hand. So I guess this is the Lord's timing. Maybe this isn't the Lord's timing. I'll be back.
All right. Got to go put him in the closet, I guess. Oh, no. I ain't going to put that boy in the closet. Yeah, Denny.
Tomorrow, my nephew will be sentenced. His name is Jacob. We prayed for him before with my sister's son. I'm guessing he's around 30 or so, but it had to do with a underage sexual crime type thing, repeated. So the lawyer told him that, you know, hope that he gets like 15 years or something like that. But still, I don't know. Well, we just want to pray for him, that God would bless him and favor him and put him in the right place where it's not too hard for visits. There are a couple of places close to where, at least one place real close to where he lives, which would be nice for my sister and their family to visit. But so we just lift up Jacob to you right now. God, we pray. Lord, he's a good kid his whole life, and he's really messed up here. Bad in one time, but bad. So we pray just for your mercy towards him, God, and mercy on him. And we thank you that he's repented and he's really walking with you. And he's in the Word right now, and he's asked for forgiveness. He did turn himself in. He just feels like he's right in his own heart. So just bless him there. Bless him in wherever he goes. And I pray you would place him in a place that would be favorable for Jodine and Mick to visit him and the other family members. And we just commit him to you, Lord. Just put him in your hands. We just thank you, Jesus. Thank you that he'll be able to get in the Word. Hope he can take advantage. Thank you, Jesus.
Can I share a verse? I have a scripture I'd like to share. And Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Just came to me, and I was looking for it. Parts of it came to me about it. So it says, I think it's Missy, and, you know, I understand we've gone through those trials. Oh, God, thank you for your grace, mercy. It says, do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. So Lord, just thank you for your word, God, and in the midst of weariness that Missy will feel and Merle feels, God, they can confess, God, they will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. They will be strong in you, God. We thank you that you will raise them up on eagle's wings, Lord. And I remember a song, and I just want to pray that you raise them up on eagle's wings and breathe on them the breath of dawn, cause them to shine like the sun, and you'll hold them in the palm of your hands, Lord. I just thank you that you're going to do that for Missy, Lord, and that you are there ready to meet every trial, even before they experience it, God, that you're there ready to give the strength that she needs, Lord. And we just pray, God, that we thank you for the overcoming victory that there's going to be there, God, with her, Lord. And she's going to experience with you, Lord, her and Merle both, Lord, and Alex too, Jesus. Just thank you, Lord, that you're our help, that we can just call out to you to help us. You just come down and soar, and soar with you on eagle's wings. So, God, thank you for that that hope that we always have, Lord. I just pray that for Missy and Merle, Lord, and for the victory that you're going to do in Alex, Lord, and drawing him to you, Father, in Jesus' name.
God. I have one more. We prayed for our son Judah and his wife Annette. They're in Colorado, near Colorado Springs, and they bought some land to develop a campground. They want to make a campground, kind of like a hunter's type of a cantrum, more of a rough type of a thing. And we prayed that they would get favored because they had to come before the city, all white area, and, you know, kind of let them know what they wanted to do to get the approval. It went real well. Everything passed there. So there's one more meeting, but he thinks it's more of a formality. So they're pretty sure they're going to be all set. So we just thank you for that, God, for your favor. Because when we pray for favor, you just move, God. And I pray you would use this endeavor in their life to draw them closer to you. I just pray you baptize them in your spirit, Judith and Annette, both. Power them, Father, and turn their lives on fire, God. Make them a light shining in the darkness out there, wherever they go. And we just thank you, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Is that Marilyn over there waving her hand? Okay, go, Marilyn.
Okay. Denise, you were praying for Jacob. Something came to me. And Lord, I'd like to pray for, just in conjunction about Jacob, that he's going to be in a place of safety. Mm. Lord, there's different spirits and levels of protection, I believe, on a spiritual realm in different places. And Lord, we pray that you're going to show favor to Jacob, that you're going to get him into the right place, and that you're going to keep a hedge of protection around him. And Lord, that we bind up any and all assignments of the enemy, all the powers of darkness and every evil work that have been assigned to him. We command those to fall and go back where they came from in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, that he's not going to be hindered in his walk with you, that as he goes into wherever you allow him to be, he's going to be like Joseph. And you're going to show him favor, just like you showed Joseph favor when he was in prison, Lord. And he's going to be protected, and he's going to be sought out by those that see the love of Christ in him. And you're going to use him in a mighty way. And Lord, I also pray for the family of this young girl. Lord, if there be any spirits of bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, Lord, going on there, we bind those up in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. We pray that you would pour out a spirit of repentance and grace and faith upon this family, that you'll bring healing, and that you will bless them, Lord. And especially this young girl, Lord, that you're going to put it in her heart to fully forgive Jacob, and her whole family will as well, and that she's going to be a mighty and a bright witness. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe it. That'd be awesome. I believe it's going to happen too. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else? All right, what do y'all want to talk about?
What was that question you had last time?
I don't remember. Let me think.
Well, I'd like to thank the Lord for giving Marilyn and Barry back their voices.
Barry says, amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Oh. Last Tuesday we talked about.
Has something to do with perfection, right?
Yeah, something to do with perfection. But we know what the Lord's job is. What's our job?
Only our risk kind of, well, what do we do with the rest of it? How do we get, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. What is our work that we do in the sanctification process, if I might say it that way?
Our responsibilities?
Yeah, there you go. That's the word I was looking for. What's our responsibilities in this walk, this sanctification walk? Can anybody help me out here? I'm just an old boy from Arkansas. I don't know a whole lot. But what's my job? I know what Jesus' job is. What's mine? I'm just saying.
I'm almost tempted to grab the book from David, Perfection Through Christ, start reading through it here.
Well, I just got through it. I've been reading on it. That's why I asked the question.
Just hold on and don't let go.
Yeah, Wade, go ahead, brother.
Well, I'm not sure, but I was thinking about faithfulness. Faith.
Okay, that's one part of it. Yeah. How do you get that faith? And I'm not asking you, Wade. I'm just throwing that back out to playing not the devil's advocate. I don't like that.
Ask the Lord to give you that faith.
Well, did you raise your hand, Bob? Come on, man.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Well, yeah, that's part of it. That's part of it. Go ahead, Missy.
I was going to say faith and obedience, but the faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You just got to believe everything in his word. You got to just believe it all and obey it all and ask the Lord to work in you, to will and to do of his good pleasure. Surrender, you know, hey, surrender all that covers everything. I think, you know, that's very broad, but there's a lot of details under that surrender all, but anyway.
Amen. That's part of it. Yeah, that's part of it. Malcolm's got his hand up. Go ahead, Malcolm. You just muted yourself. Let me see. Yeah, there you go.
No, I am. It says you are unmuted. Well, I just wanted to raise my hand to make up for all the times that I haven't. <How's> that? Okay, over and out.
I was just messing with Barbara. I think she knows that. Okay, let's see. Anybody else? Yeah, Dave.
I would think repentance has a lot to do with it, because when you get corrected or the Lord's working on that part of your life that he wants to change, that we have to have a submit, like Missy was also pointing to obedience, but I think it's being submitted to what he's trying to change in us and repent and not fight against it and rebel and move alongside with the Lord, not try to work against him and his will.
Okay. Yeah, Andrew?
To receive an inheritance among those sanctified. So that it is receiving this inheritance among those sanctified by faith in Christ Jesus. That's something the Apostle Paul said in front of a king and a queen and a governor and a bunch of colonels and all these highfalutin people. And after that, they got all together and they said, "This guy should have been set at liberty, you know." So of course, King Agrippa said, "You almost convinced me to become a Christian." But why almost? I don't know. He spoke very well there on that inheritance. among those sanctified by faith in Christ Jesus. Well, it says in me, because he's referring to Christ Jesus there. Yeah, and to receive the remission of sins, of course. Receiving is an important part of it. Faith is an important part of it. Love, obedience is an important part of it. And to remember that inheritance too. And sometimes, you know, you go through a day, I don't know if anyone has this happen to them, where I constantly do repetitive work at my work, and my mind just goes into a daze, and I forget about the Lord sometimes, and, you know, it might go on for a while, and then, then I'm reminded, you know, and so, that's just something that happens to me sometimes, but it's getting better. Anyway, praise God.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Let me rephrase my question. I'm just an old farm boy from Arkansas. I don't know nothing from nothing. Somebody tells me that in order to be sanctified, I allow Jesus to do that. Okay, I'm gonna allow him to do it. What else do I need to do? Now, come on, y'all. This ain't rocket science. What's the main thing? What's the main thing of the main thing? As the old boy said. Go ahead, Julie.
Oops. You hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I believe everyone was right, but it's also as if you believe you continue to read the word, you continue to believe the word, you continue to repent and go forward in the race, and you rest and let God do it, and you just keep fighting the good fight of the faith. I mean, it's a progress, and you see the end from the beginning, and you accept it and receive it.
Amen. And
if this was a trick question, then you're going to have to explain it to us all.
No, you hit it right on the head. You have to understand the Word of God first. You have to understand what repentance is. You have to understand all these other things. And there ain't but one way to do that. And that's to read and study the Word of God. You can't even get faith without studying and reading the Word of God. And that's the backbone. And I know, you know, I know that everybody here understands that that's just a given. But I'm thinking about all them people out there that might be tuning in for the first time. The biggest thing is to get in the Word of God and understand what it says, and to ask the Lord. But where is that verse that's in Matthew 6, where we allow no man to teach us, only the Spirit of God.
I would just add to that is to come to the Lord with the faith like a child. He said, let the children come to him and forbid them not. You come to him, and you just take him at his word, and you start doing that, and you start exercising your faith in what you read, and God honors that. You know, you don't have to be any big, mighty, brainy, I know all these things. It's just that can get in the way, I have learned. You know, it's like the wisdom of everything I know about what God says is just, okay, so why am I not seeing the answers? It's like, why are you trying so hard? Why are you thinking about it so much? It's just let me do it.
Amen.
That can get in the way. The enemy just starts to get your wheels are thinking about, why isn't this happening, or what's taking so long? And it's like, I'm doing all these things, but yet I'm confessing the word, but what's going on? You know, it's sometimes we just, we think too much, analyze too much, and in place of just resting. Lord, help us rest.
Yeah. Yeah. I do that sometimes too. You know, I'm always looking for that complex answer. You know, I want to, you know, we want to impress somebody. I just want the simple answers from now on. I just want God, you know. Here's something out of Perfection Through Christ that I saw, and it's underlined in the book itself. And it says this. It says, the whole purpose of God is to create his children into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And if you don't read the word of God, you don't understand what how Jesus walked. You don't understand how do I get in Jesus' footsteps and walk like him if you don't read the word of God. And that's key to this sonship. We don't want to be a part of a handmaid. We want to be a part of the sonship. Amen. Hey, Andrew. Did you have something you wanted to say? Okay. All right, let me mute you. Yeah, Dave.
Also, what I'm kind of seeing here, it reminds me, I didn't read this initially because of I didn't want to seem like it was too hard, especially when Denny was praying for his nephew and stuff. But it was the Lamentations came up with me today, earlier just this evening. Lamentations 3:19, and I took it all the way to the end. But it talks, and then I got thinking about what we're talking about here, and about we're talking about sanctification. And in the process of sanctification, Jesus also, you go through his affliction, you learn obedience. And you have to, and I agree, you have to read the scriptures to understand what the Lord's all about, what he's doing, and how he thinks and how he does things. But we know also through a lot of affliction that, you know, that's how you come into this sanctification process. That's how you become perfected. And it's your flesh and your wills and everything hardship that's going to come against you is going to mold you into that Son of God. It's not just going to be always just, even though it's given to us by faith and by the promise, by one offering, perfected forever, never sanctified, now he's going to do it. The rest of the process, which is going to be through our suffering, which is going to make us come in alignment and obedience to his word. But to do that, the way you understand how this process works is you have to get into the word so you can walk in agreement with it and know that's what the Lord's doing. He's not there trying to crush you. He's there trying to mold you and make you be what you need to be. And he does that through our trials. He does that through our the calamities we go through, it says here in Lamentations. He has calamities come out against you. He has people come up against you and speak evil things and strike you on the cheek. He brings enemies in our paths. He has all these tough times. He boxes you in. He doesn't make it easy. He makes you suffer. But he doesn't hold you there forever. He's looking for the fruit to come out of that. He's squeezing you, and he's going to bring some fruit. And then he also brings in the salvation, the forgiveness, the cleansing, the sanctity, and he brings in the love. All that comes in too. But you have to go through that crushing process also.
All right, anybody else? Yeah, Denny, go ahead, brother.
There you go. Yeah. I think on a like a practical side, you know, when we're the enemy is gonna want to come back. So we can't offer him a landing strip, you know. He may come to pester in our thoughts a lot. Our attitudes, things like that. That's the way spirits come in, and we can either receive them or reject them. So we just don't offer him a landing strip. You got to really fight that stuff off so that it can't come, you know, can't land upon you. Because that's what gives him the foothold, is when we give him a place. If you give place to the devil, then he'll have a foothold, you know. But if we submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, he has to flee from us. And then in the natural man, we have to control our thought life, which, because all these thoughts come, they bombard us, and we kind of get a kick them out, and they come back, we kick them out, they come back. You can't have that kind of a fight. We have to gain that victory in our thought life and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and it can be done. In that way, you're keeping the enemy from out, and you're keeping your old man reckoned dead. The man has to be reckoned dead. And just remind yourself that dead men don't sin. You know, dead men, that's what David said in that book, dead men don't sin, or they can't sin. So if you're dead, if we're reckoned dead, and you're trusting God for that, say, sorry, I can't sin, because I'm dead. Dead men don't sin, and believe it. And so get the victory over the enemy and over your own thoughts, and in that way we can stay clean and stay pure and holy. So.
Amen. That's it right there. That's a lot of it right there. It's just fighting the enemy. Fighting the enemy. Because he knows that he's had a gate through us in all these many years, and now he doesn't have a home, and he wants to come back in there. And if we let him back in, he's going to come in. He's going to come in with both guns blasted. And just like Denny says, we just have to be dead men to it and don't allow that enemy to come back in and disrupt and take us back 15 steps from where we are right now. Overcoming is the way to do it. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this for a couple of days or weeks, I guess. Just believing and receiving, like Julie was saying, and also drinking the cup, you know, enjoying the covenant that we have, no matter whether it seems good or bad, whether it's a hard life or just always living in the clouds. But whatever cup he gives us, we're, you know, not comparing ourselves to other people, not looking at everybody else's, you know, formulas or whatever we think they're doing to be successful, but enjoying sonship, enjoying that the face of God, you know, and just imagining that we have God's full attention, and to just walk whatever he's got for us, and know that if the devil comes knocking, we can let Jesus answer the door.
Amen. That George, that you hit on something there. I understand, and that is, you can't look at somebody else and say, "Boy, I wish I was right where they are." I'd have been nuts a long time ago if I'd been doing that. I just understand that I'm where I'm at, and other people are where they are. And I'm just trying to do the best I can with what God's given me. And I can't worry about how somebody else is walking. They're walking better than me or whatever. I just ask the Lord, you know, Lord, just keep me going forward. Keep my eyes focused on you and not on these sidetracks, these little rabbit trails that we like to go on a lot of times. Right now is the time to stay on that straight and narrow. We can't be sidetracked by looking at somebody else. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus, or we're not going to make it. Now, I say that with some reservations, because God's grace is so awesome. If you hiccup, be sure to repent. Get back on there, and you're right back where you started. You don't have to worry about it. That's a great thing about this new covenant that we have, that we're in, is that all we have to do is ask God to forgive us. He'll forgive us, and we're right back where we started from. And don't let condemnation set in. If you do a hiccup every now and then, just get back in the race. Stay in there. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Don't worry about old Sam over there or Bob over there or whatever. Just you got to worry. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. All right, anybody else? Do what? Okay, yeah, go ahead, Judy. I think he was before Malcolm. I'll get him in a minute. I'll get you in a minute, Malcolm.
And just what you were saying, the scripture that came to my mind is after the repentance of Peter and the humbling in John 21 and how Jesus was, you know, teaching him and, you know, do you still love me? And, you know, he told him, you know, that he was going to die, you know, another, you know, this is how you're going to die. Another's going to gird you and you're going to go where you wouldn't want to go and you're old. And anyhow, he told him to follow him. And then Peter turned and saw following them the disciple whom Jesus loved, who had lain close to the breast of him at supper, and said, Lord, who is this is going to betray you? And when Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me. And like we're always, you know, the disciples are just so, you know, they're no different. It's that human nature. It's like we're looking at somebody else and what their ministry is or what they did or, you know, where they're at or where you think they're at. You know, and it's just wrong to compare yourself to anybody else in what God's called them to do. And because the enemy will use that, and you know that competition, and you know, just it's just the sin nature, and it's the, you know, it's America, and you know, thinking somebody else is better off than you are or whatever. And it's like, if you're just doing what you're supposed to be doing, you know, you're doing God's will. You know,
right.
You start getting out in the flesh and start comparing yourself and, you know, what about her? What about him? It's just, the enemy will use that. You gotta be careful. Plus, you know, the Lord turned, you know, he wasn't real favorable about that either. It's like, what is that to you? You follow me. So, follow the Lord.
Amen. Go ahead, Malcolm. You just muted yourself again. Ah, there you go.
Yeah, I made the mistake of unmuting myself without raising my hand first, and so I went back and tried to raise my hand, and then I had the speakerphone off and didn't hear anything. Sorry, but I'm going to try to raise my hand now in the future. But anyway, I've been looking at some ideas about talking to people about the Lord. And one thing that I think a lot of people have that don't know the Lord have a tendency to do is compare themselves with each other. Like you could say that, you know, I mow my lawn, I keep my flower beds weeded. Everything's trimmed and really neat and nice. But my neighbor over there, you know, just lets weeds grow and, you know, and I'm pretty good, you know, because of that. And, you know, they are a little, they're a cut below. But I think a lot of people, they say, well, that person sins or that person does this particular sin. I don't do that. But most people that are in the world don't realize that God is the one we have to deal with, as far as it's His standard. But then, you know, when you come to the Lord, often that's that tendency can continue on where you're still comparing yourself with those around you. You know, I mean, it's true that Paul said that, you know, I want to provoke some of them to jealousy. So there is a little of that, but that's not where to, you know, like you say, look to Jesus. It's just a human tendency to compare ourselves with each other. But anyway, you've already covered that, so.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Denny.
Just one more thing on the practical side. with every temptation, the Lord always provides a way of escape. And you have to recognize that way of escape, and when we have to take it and learn to look for it. If there's the temptations are coming, look for the way of escape, because He always provides it, and it has to be taken immediately. You can't dwell on things and let them stay there. Then it becomes a battle to you, where if you take the way of escape, the Lord takes care of it and it's gone. So look for that way of escape.
Amen. I tell you what, Denny, that has been so clear to me just in this last couple of weeks. If you have prayed against something that has bugged you for years and years and years, and that demon has been cast out, and you ask the Lord, Lord, I'm asking you now to help me to maintain this clean house I've got, then you'll notice some things. You'll notice that He will give you the opportunity to overcome in a different way than you did before. That's what I've seen. And you'll notice it right away. Oh, okay. So I don't need to go there with this thing. And next thing you know, you've overcome. And then the next time something else comes up, He'll do it again. And I've noticed that just in the last couple of weeks, you know, how He does that, overcoming the flesh, so to speak, in your life. And you've asked Him to help you. He'll do it. And He'll make it be known to you that's Him. You know? So, oh, okay. All right. I cast that down in the name of Jesus, you know. I just thought I'd throw that out there. That's where it's happened with me here just in the last couple of weeks. If that makes sense to anybody. Yeah, Pat. How you doing, brother? You on the job?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I'll be on this job for another few months, but I was just looking at Colossians 1:9. It says, and it kind of fits in with what we were talking about, but it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray and make request for you, that ye may be filled with the knowledge of His will." And I was just thinking how that related to His word, filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And I was thinking about what Dennis said about this, God will make a way for you in the temptation. And I guess one thing that I have kind of learned through the process is that it usually comes in the form of when you're in that particular temptation, it comes in the form of His word, the Lord's. I'm talking about the deliverance, it usually comes through the form of a word from him or the scripture in some other place that you hadn't been thinking about before. And the pressure of that particular temptation puts you in the frame of reference. I think it's probably the frame of reference of in particular need at that time. And it puts you, you're automatically in kind of a seeking mode of operation. But he, at least with me, he seems to give me an out, which is something that I hadn't thought about before, a different view of the scripture, or a different, throws a scripture in there and you have to think about it for a minute. And so when you take advantage of that scripture by responding in belief, whether it be through commandment or commanding, or just simply an acknowledgement and a thank you from the Lord, he seems to fill you with his wisdom in that time and understanding. I know that that word wisdom is, I think, is a little bit, in our American or maybe English view or concept of wisdom, we tend to think of, you know, an intelligent individual sitting on, you know, knowing everything and that sort of thing, when I've come to understand it as more or less just his perspective, the Lord's perspective in any particular given situation. And I know that when that temptation comes, it's usually, I guess the example I'm thinking of is when, before we had the ability through aerodynamics to fly, mankind was not aware of the law of aerodynamics. And so we were pretty well bound by the law of gravity. But God seen fit to give individuals wisdom, a different perspective, so that they weren't able to destroy or make the law of gravity go away, but they were able to, by faith, grasp another law, another portion of truth, and by applying that portion of truth, they were able to overcome that law of gravity. And I think the very thing that I think of immediately when I say that is Romans 8:1. I'm using a different E sword here, so it's hard for me to get around. But there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I know that's a favorite of Leon's. So in like manner, I think that the Lord gives us that input of spiritual wisdom or understanding in part of his word. And as we submit to it, obey it, receive it, thank God for it, and do whatever comes to our mind related to it in our response, I believe God gives us, if we submit and obey to it, I believe he gives us deliverance from that temptation through that process. The next verse in Colossians 10, he says, because to be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, in order to walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And even in that walking and receiving, and that, say, new direction, there's also increased knowledge and understanding that comes simply through that obedience. So I guess that's all I wanted to say.
Go ahead, Julie.
Hi. Can we expound on that scripture a little bit, 1 Corinthians 10:13? Because I'm looking up in the ASB, and I guess my interpretation of it might be a little different. I don't know. Therefore, hath no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. Wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. So I look at that scripture and thought on that a lot, and I kind of took it as, you know, we go through trials and temptation. I believe that's the same word. I didn't actually look, but I believe it is. God's faithful. If we're faithful to believe him, believe the gospel, and exercise faith, that's the way of escape, is to exercise faith and overcome that. It's that you may be able to endure it. So whatever trial it is, it's an endurance thing. It's not just expecting it always immediately, but you know, God makes a way of escape. If we hold on, you know, he makes the way of escape. To me, just means to endure in my faith until I see the end. So I kind of wanted other people's thoughts on that, because I've heard that say different ways. It's like he makes a way of escape, but there's only one way. Anyhow, throwing it out there.
Go ahead, Diane.
I did get a passage that might support what Julie's saying. It says 1 Chronicles 29:12, both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is a power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all.
Okay, anybody else?
What passage was that again? What verse?
Oh, reading from the Bible? No, I wasn't. Yeah, I'm sorry. 1 Chronicles 29:12. It's one of David's prayers.
First Chronicles 12, how much?
29:12.
Oh, 29:12. So, what are you saying, Dave?
I said God's got the sovereignty. We know where we go if we need the strength.
There you go. Amen. That is pretty powerful. And he does it in a way that we'll understand it's him. It's doing it. I believe. That's what I've been experiencing. Anybody else? Okay. What else do y'all want to talk about? I have an answer to a question that was posed some time back, if y'all remember. We were talking about the man child and the bride. And between the 60-fold and the 100-fold. And if you'll read in, I believe it's chapter 6 of Perfection Through Christ, he talks about the sun, the star glory, the moon glory, and the sun glory. And I also have been reading the man child and the bride prophecy. We talked about what does the man child have 100-fold fruit? Because what I've heard David say in some Bible studies is that the 100-fold fruit, you get that when the body is glorified. Anybody else ever heard that? Nobody else has? Well, he said it a number of times in Bible studies about the man-child ministry, about the 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit. He's often said that the 100-fold fruit is the glorified body. So I'm thinking in myself, well, if that's the case, then what about the man-child? He doesn't have the 100-fold, he doesn't have that glorified body. Remember, we talked about that last week. Where is the man-child in this between 60 and 100-fold? Well, I have the answer. We'll take up a collection first to give the answer.
You have a PayPal account we can donate to or something?
Yeah. Well, that's a good idea, Dave. I'm glad you gave it to me.
Operators are standing by.
Operators are standing by. Yeah. Okay. Now, and David and I were talking about it, and I had run across it in the book Perfection Through Christ. The man child will have a glorified body. You remember when there's two instances of this happening. One of them was when Moses went up on the mountain. You remember when he went up on the mountain? That's a type and a shadow. And he came back down and he had to put the veil across his face because his body was so glorified. That's one instance of a glorified body as the man child. That's the 100-fold fruit. He's doing everything the Lord told him to do. He was listening to the Lord. He was doing everything. Another one is in the New Testament when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember that? He took James and John and Peter with him. Remember what Peter, man, he's ready to build a tabernacle for everybody. But Jesus was glorified there. Also, he had that glorified body. Now, this is a type and a shadow of what's going to happen to the man child. The man child is going to have that glorified body when he comes back. Now, I don't know to what extent, but he's going to be 100-fold fruit during this time of tribulation. He will have that 100-fold fruit. Yeah, Judy.
Well, I guess, as I was thinking about that, that helps make it makes more sense to my mind, because I've heard it, you know, heard it said this, like, you know, when we die, that whatever stage of glory we're in, whether it be 30-fold, 60-fold, or wherever we're at in our maturity, if and when we die on earth, that's going to be our glorified body forever. So if we manifestly die spiritually, in that, like in John chapter 11, when Jesus told Martha that, you know, if you believe, you'll see my glory. And he said about those who believe, yet they die, yet shall they live. And those who believe and live shall never die. So that part, you know, if you're dead in the flesh and you're dead in the flesh and you're dead, and those who are alive and remain at his coming, you know, they're going to be in their glorified body. So he'll be walking. So the man child will be walking around in a glorified body. I guess we, you know, people wouldn't actually see them unless the Lord allowed people to see that glory, like Moses.
Yep. Well, you know? I'm getting some feedback. Hang on, Diane, just a minute. Let me mute you. David was talking about in one of his books, he was talking about people had seen him and he had a glow about him. And I've had people tell me about somebody else that had that glow about them, you know. And when people can see in the spirit realm, they can see that glow around you as well. You know, it's not just certain people. It's all Christians that are walking right with the Lord. That glow is going to be about you. But that man child, that's going to be 100-fold. Whatever that means. Judy, you said something there. I don't know if that's true or not. I've never even studied, but I have read a little bit about it. And that is that if you go into heaven with the 30-fold fruit, you're going to keep that 30-fold fruit the whole time while you're in heaven. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if God's not going to teach us some more up there when we get up there and give us an opportunity to, you know, climb a little bit. I don't know. I know I've read some things about people that have gone to heaven that they do have different levels, and you can attain as you learn. I don't know. Nothing in the Word about that I know of. Yeah, Malcolm. Malcolm's got the answer. Go ahead, brother. You're unmuted. You can go ahead and talk. You got 18 minutes. Uh-oh.
Oh, I had muted my phone, not my line.
Okay.
So sorry about that. So there are three steps for those of us on the phone. First, you raise your hand, then you unmute your line, and then you unmute your phone.
Okay.
It's simple. 1, 2, 3. So anyway, I was just thinking about the Hindu caste system, which. There's a gentleman that had some visions in which the Lord showed him that the Hindu caste system is basically a reflection of the demonic world, in which the demons are stuck at whatever level they are at, and there's no way to proceed, to get in or out of those levels. And as you know, the Hindu caste system, if you're say you're an outcast, which is a janitor or a musician or those folks, part of the caste system, you can't ever get out of whatever that role was, and which is why communism was so attractive to a lot of Hindus in Nepal, because you know, the Maoist movement that happened years ago really started when we were there. But because with the whole communist selling point was that if you're an outcast, and you get into our movement, now you can be somebody. And a lot of those outcasts have risen to top leader positions of leadership within the Communist Party, the Maoist Party there. So in a way, communism was a way of escape from the caste system. Of course, if a person becomes a Christian, they escape as well. Anyway, I don't know that following the Lord, you end up with the same caste system. I don't know. It's whatever the Lord's going to do, though, is going to be right and just and appropriate. So,
and let me ask you a question while I got you on here, Malcolm. The Hindus, sure. do they believe that they can go forward after they get to heaven? Do they think that they can go forward? Or are you saying that they have to stay in that same system, that same level all the time?
Now that I'm not real sure about that, and I would have to defer to somebody who's an authority on that.
Well, the reason I ask is Leon's got the answer. Wait a minute, I'm gonna let him give us the answer. Go ahead, Leon.
Okay, Hindus believe that you attain when you die, you go to a different species. You do excel. If you've been good, you excel to a better species, and if you've been bad, you just die. But I got the book. No, I don't have. Yeah, I got Hinduism in America right here, a little book. But I would have to read and refresh it. But, you know, they believe in reincarnation.
Right.
You know, so they don't believe that you just die and go to heaven or to hell. They believe that you come back and, you know, if you've been good, you move up.
What's, as far as a Hindu is concerned, what's the highest level you can attain?
Don't know. The Brahman.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about a book?
The Brahmin caste is the highest, and within all these castes, there are different levels within the caste. And I, when I was working at the Intel Corporation, there was one of my managers for a while was a Brahmin, and I said, "Oh, you're a Brahmin." He said, "No, I am the highest level Brahmin." So I had to bow with even more respect at that point.
Oh, so,
but eventually, because of his attitude, he got fired. But anyway,
I can't imagine why. Well, he was the super Brahmin, man. Anyway, just call for Hinduism. The reason I ask that is because if anybody's ever read Saju Sundar Singh, you understand where I'm coming from. I've read some of his stuff, and he says that they, when he had these visions and stuff, that they were different levels in heaven, and that you could climb up. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to bring that up just because I grew up in that kind of a culture and that way of thinking. My brother, my Nepali brother, that we tried to adopt, but it was too late. The embassy told us he was too old for that. But his uncle tried to rescue him when what happened was lightning hit their house. His parents and other folks were kind of drunk, and they were challenging the gods to hit their house with lightning during the storm, and that's what happened. And it killed the mother and the father. And then his uncle came into the house and found my brother on top of a buffalo, passed out from the smoke and whatnot. So as he was trying to pull the buffalo out, I guess the timber fell on his leg. So both of them showed up at our hospital the next day. We went through the same storm. It was the most horrendous storm. But anyway, his uncle was really badly burned to the point where he needed to have his leg amputated. And so they sent him into Kathmandu. He died there. But the reason he didn't want his leg amputated was because in the next life, say if he came back as a mosquito, he'd have one of his legs missing, and he didn't want that.
Well, of course not.
A lot of folks will refuse amputation because ever after they won't have that limb in whatever state they come back. So it's serious. People take it seriously.
Peter, is it that only has five legs? You know, I'm telling you. Go ahead, Julie.
Sorry. Julie. I should laugh.
I guess I would was thinking sometimes about the, you know, we can't limit God and what he wants to do. He's creating sons that will come, you know, into his glory and be as the fullness of God. You know, I when you read, think about that scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, the prayer that Paul prayed, you know, that we apprehend all that Christ is and come into the fullness of God. And when you think about how long eternity is, and, you know, God's got obviously awesome plans for, you know, for everybody, but it's like, we're, you know, what are his sons going to do with that creative authority, power, wisdom, all that, you know, you think about that, there's more maturing, you know, God teaching his sons.
Well, I'm reminded of, who was it? Mary Catherine Baxter that went to heaven. I think it was her. I could be mistaken. Then she saw the babies up there and they were teaching the babies. So that's another possible scenario there. I know that when Buddy, my friend, went to, he had a vision of heaven and he saw my brother up there. He was working on an arch. He got killed when he was 10 years old. So, you know, I don't know. I suspect that there's going to be growth in heaven. Okay. Go ahead, George. I'll get you in a minute, Malcolm.
I think I accidentally raised my hand, but I was thinking about growth. Even the man child, like Jesus, grew in wisdom and stature and favor. And the man child, I believe, is going to grow in ministry through the 30, 60, and 100 fold. And just the glory of God, it's going to go from kingdom and power and glory. I think that we're all going, you know, we're going to see all the miracles and the works that we read about in the Bible, but also all of the things that the Bible says, if they were written, all the books wouldn't hold them. I think because of the amount of people on the planet and the representation of the man child that's going to be on the planet, that even all of those things are going to be open and available, like all those greater works and just spectacular miracles. So, I don't know. It's just a thought that came to me. Thank you.
Amen. I believe it. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I was not to bring great insight into you know, teachings of Hinduism. There's a guy, and I think, and David has talked about this before, who saw all these visions. I don't know if you earlier when David was having different folks on his show, on his program, he would interview them, they'd come on, they would speak. I don't remember it was Howard Pittman, that was his name. Anyway, he's the one that saw this in vision.
Oh, yeah.
That the Hindu caste system is a reflection of the way the demons are stuck in their positions in the demonic realm. But it, you know, after understanding the sovereignty of God, God would be in charge of ordering all that as well, even though Satan's in charge of that, you know, the vessels of dishonor. Still, God is ultimately the arbiter of these things. So it could provide a little insight as to what happens on the good side as well. you know, I don't know, but I think it is interesting that these guys, these demons are not guys, but the demons are stuck. And it's also interesting to me, and I, you know, I keep listening to the Gospels where the demons say to Jesus, what if you come here to torment us before the time? In other words, they were keenly aware of what was coming to them, and they didn't want any additional torment, you know, in the here and now. It's just very interesting that, that, you know, the whole relationship that that whole relationship there. And so anyway, for what it's worth, department.
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
I was going to come back to where you're talking about the hundredfold fruit as far as the body being concerned with the man-child having a perfected body. Because you brought up Moses and Jesus. Well, that brought stirred some ideas with Moses and Jesus about this in the sense that I went back to the scriptures and I see here in Deuteronomy 34, it talks about Moses' death. It's interesting. It says, so Moses, 34:5, it says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he was buried in the valley of the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre until this day, or a place he was buried. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural force abated. So it kind of refers to a body that didn't decay. It didn't have any kind of natural disease or any problem there. But then, you know, it's interesting because in Jude 1:9, we have this statement from Jude, which throws everybody off. He says, Jude 1:9, he says, but Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a willing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. So we got this dispute going over the body of Moses with the devil. That's strange. What's that all about? You know, right? He's got this undefiled body going on there, and Michael the archangel is fighting Satan over Moses' body. But that also goes in line. Again, if we go to Psalms 16:10, and this is talking about Jesus, and he says, thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. And then if we go to Acts 13:35, and Paul's talking, and I'll probably start at, yeah. Start at 33. That God has fulfilled the same unto the children, and he raised Jesus up, as also written in the second psalm, that thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. And it's concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to a corruption. He has spoken to the wise, I will give you the holy and see the blessing of David, because he has said to in another psalm, thou wilt not give the Holy One to see corruption. So we have Jesus also having been, like you mentioned, at the transfiguration, being glorified at that point. Is this glorification just like Moses when he went up to the mountain and seen the Lord? And now we have Jesus going through this glorification process on the mountain, being glorified in the Lord. Does that mean at this point we see that their bodies were no more susceptible to corruption? Because we're seeing neither one of them had a corruption at death.
Well, after you read that verse in Jude, that's what makes me think that.
Because why would the devil fight over that body? What's so concerning about this body of the Satan with that uncorrupted body? Why would Satan want that? That's interesting. Is that something he can inhabit and never die? That's what he's thinking?
Well, I'm thinking that Moses' body may not be corrupted. that might be sitting there still in his glory. Anyway, we're about out of time here. Let me see what Tim's got to say.
Well, when you're talking about, moving up through the steps of heaven, or moving, improving your lot in heaven, I found a couple of verses in Revelation that kind of pointed back. First one is Revelation 2. It says that to those that overcome, 2 and 7, those that overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life, paradise of God. And then in the end of Revelation in chapter 22, it talks about the tree of life in the city of heaven itself, and the leaves thereof are for the healing of the nations. So if there's a healing being manifested in heaven, I would think that'd be a completion or an improvement of one's state while they're there. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Sorry, it's a little late, but I thought that those verses kind of pointed that they're, we could improve our lot in heaven.
Amen. I kind of lean toward that away myself. I can't see us just being stagnant in heaven. I just don't register somehow with me. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for leading us tonight, and thank you for answering our prayers for everybody. And I thank you, Lord, that when we come together again Tuesday night, we continue this talk about the glorified bodies, and we can just start there, and wherever we end up, that's where you want us. And I thank you, Lord, for being with us over the weekend. And I praise you, Lord, for giving us that overcoming power to walk this sanctified life you've got us on. And give us a good night's sleep tonight. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. All right. Willie, are you going to be able to go Saturday night?
Yeah, I should be able to go. If not, I'll just call you and let you know.
Okay, thank you, brother.